and welcome to Only Believe right here in Kenton, Ohio. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. I thank you for being here today, and most I thank you for pursuing the Lord. I want to remind you that the Bible is clear that if we were to live this whole life and not meet him, it would all be in vain. Amen. So I thank God that you are here today, that you're in the presence of God. I thank you for having your heart open to the Lord and his goodness on our life. And we're just going to worship and step into what he has for us today and be very thankful that our God is good. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise God.
Are we ready to worship? Stand to your feet if those who can. Open up your eyes and your heart and your mind. Don't worry about who's around you. Let's just praise the Lord and worship the Lord this morning.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank God. Yes, Jesus. We praise you. praise you, Lord.
Holy, 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 holy. Is your worship too, not just mine. A man's empty place, treasure, never. But then you came, this you came along, put me back together. Every desire is now satisfied. Come on, I've seen you more excited for a football game than you are right now. Is that on? You turn on into dancing. You turn seas into highways. You're the only one who can. You're the only one who can. You're the only. Look, I wasn't trying to make you mad, but I'm serious. We get excited about some of the silliest stuff. But when it comes to getting excited about something that's worth being excited about, we don't do anything with it. Maybe it's just because of my ears. I love my pastor, but he ain't got what you need. Did you hear me? I said I love him, but he don't got what you need. Jesus has got what you need. If you don't start going after it, it's going to slip out from underneath of you. Nothing, nothing is better than you. I said nothing. Oh, there's nothing better than you. Turn bones into armies. You turn seas into highways.
You're the only one who can.
You turn graves into gardens. You turn bones into armies. You turn seas into highways. You're the
Hallelujah. Our Father is good all the time. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Amen.
Sorry, Pastor Phil.
Oh, you are fine. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Today is a great day. And I want you to know that we have a guarantee that it's a great day. You want to know why? Because the Bible declares this is a day that the Lord has made. And I will rejoice and be glad in it. And the reason, amen, the reason you can rejoice and be glad in this day that the Lord has made is because without fail, when the Lord makes a day, He has a promise within that day to give you everything needed to get through that day. Amen. From the rising of the sun to the setting of the same. Not only should our God be magnified and glorified, but you can count on the fact that He's with you. Amen. Without fail. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Woo. Well, you see that I'm by myself today. Woo. So I got some freedom and some liberties that I don't usually have. Amen. But I want you to know that Pastor Regina is well on her way to recovery. She was doing good even this morning, better and better every day. She's feeling more like herself. Amen. So I only got a small window to get away with my liberties. Praise God. Before she's back in full ability to straighten me out. Praise God. But no, just keep her in your prayers. Amen. Praise God. At this time, we're going to let the children go, and we'll let the teens go. And I want to remind you that as we've been declaring today, immediately after the service out in District 12 room out there, the greeters are going to have a meeting. So you'll want to be with Mr. Jamie and Marie there after the service. And if you're interested in being a greeter, you can go to that also. And I almost forgot. Praise God. Usually the part that I let my sweetie pie do. On March 10th, okay, coming up on March 10th, that Sunday right after service, we're going to have what we call Next Steps. And that is for anybody that's new and that wants to know more about the church and places to get involved with the church. And we're just going to give you some history of us being here and just get to know you a little better. So if you haven't come to Next Steps, you're welcome on the 10th to be here with us. And that'll be a good time right after service. Praise God. And you know me, I'll have to have some kind of food there. Praise the Lord. So that'll be a good time. Amen. Praise God. And other than that, we're going to take a few minutes and remind ourselves that in Matthew chapter 23, in about verse 23, the Lord is speaking to people, and He's really given them an admonishment in that scripture. And what He's talking to them about is that at that time they were giving. They were giving faithfully and tithing faithfully in some areas. But He was saying, but you have forgotten some of the weightier things of the law, like judgment, mercy, and faith. And so one thing I want to tell you today is that when we are releasing our tithes and offerings unto the Lord, this should never be an area that becomes just some, you know, traditional kind of monotonous or just something that we do out of habit. But there ought to be a faith realm in our giving. First, we should be giving because, above all, we want to honor the Lord and show Him that in every area of our life, He has the priority. You know, the Bible says that it is the love of money that's the root of all evil. Amen? And I tell you, sometimes I give just to make sure that I have no motive and that the Lord is the ruler of every area of my life. And I want you to know that by faith, you should already come in here with a heart prepared to give. By faith, you should know why you give. And by faith, you should know that the Lord is going to be a part of helping your everyday life and blessing you. Amen? I want you to know that God is always on your side. And sometimes I've tested my faith in the weirdest of ways. You know, one time I was reading in the Bible, and it says that they walked in shoes that didn't give out for 40 years. And so call it crazy or not, but there was things I started praying over, like my tires and all kinds of crazy stuff. And I just believed God, hey, if it could last that long back then, why can't it last that long here? And I know you guys are going to think I'm nuts, but one time I drove on one set of tires for 100 and 25,000 miles. Praise the Lord. I'll never forget that when I went to get my tires changed, the guy came out scratching his head. And he said, "Have you ever had tires changed on your car before?" And I said, "No, why are you asking?" And he said, "Because I've done this for a long time." He said, "And I'm almost sure that these are the set of tires that was first put on this vehicle, and that's not possible." He said, "There's no way you could have this many miles on one set of tires." And I said, "Oh, yes, it's possible." I said, "Not in this earthly realm," and we're going to talk about this for a little bit, "but in the realm of a pilgrim, it's possible." That really made him scratch his head. But what he didn't know was I was talking about a pilgrim, an alien to this world, someone whose citizenship is beyond this place. So just remember to be led of the Spirit in everything you do and make room for God. Amen? Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I just pray your blessing upon your people today, Father. And Lord, as they release their faith in the area of tithing and giving, God, that, Father, all the promises of the Bible concerning this is yes and amen, Father. You will open the windows of heaven. You will rebuke the devourer. You will give them favor, God. Lord, you'll do things for them that they don't even know how it's possible to have been done, but by your hand, Father. And Lord, I just thank you for your goodness, and I thank you for your movement in our life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise God. Bring your tithes and offerings to the Lord. Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Woo. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Our God is good all the time. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to be speaking to you today about the goodness of living our life according to the way the Lord has laid it out for humanity. Amen? And I just want to start with some general things here, and then I'm going to step into something. And it's kind of funny because one of the songs was referencing the fact that the Lord can bring life to dry bones, and we're going to look at that scripture today, which is in Ezekiel chapter 37, and we're going to spend a few minutes there. But before I get there, I want to remind you, from the beginning of humanity, the Lord put an order in place that is required for us to have life. Amen? I want to remind you that from the beginning, the Lord looked upon the earth and said it was outformed and void. In other words, the earth was out of order. The earth had no ability to exist in the fullness of what it is or provide what it's providing for us without the Lord Himself, God our Father from heaven, speaking and putting the earth in order. And from the moment God began to speak to the earth and put it in order, He was setting a stage for humanity to understand without God, there is no proper existence. The Lord verified the earth was there. He verified the earth itself as a shell was there. But it was without form and without, and it was void. In other words, it was not producing life. It was not producing an environment where life could live. And I want you to know something, that we are the same as the world. If humanity exists on this earth without God, you are going to find voidness. You are going to find the inability to provide life the way it was meant to be. You are going to find people going this way and that way, being, doing, saying, and involved in things that was never intended for them to be a part of, and not even knowing, not even having the awareness that they're approaching life in the wrong way. I want you to know something, that there is a way to approach life, and it's God's way. I want you to know that there should not be an area of our life that exists on just our own way of thinking or on our own accord. Our life has got to make room for God. We have a requirement in the Bible that says that in every aspect of this thing called life, we need God's help. Praise the Lord. I want to just share a couple things with you from the Bible, and I'm going to go to the very beginning, praise God, but I'm going to go to chapter 2 today, and I want to remind everybody, in case you would ever have any wonder, that it says in Genesis chapter 2, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Let us not ever forget that in the book of Acts, what did it say? In him we live, move, breathe, and have our very existence. Amen? Praise the Lord. You know, we remember all the big things of life, but sometimes it's important for us to niddle down to the very minor things of life, like breathing, that sometimes we take for granted every day. Sometimes it's good for us to realize, you know what? I couldn't even breathe, walk, or talk if it wasn't God's will. I couldn't function and have the goodness of life if it wasn't God's will. You know, I think it's very important for us to remember that even us being here, our birth, our very coming of being, our very existence is here because God was involved in the process. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Our God is good. I also want to remind you that the way we live and the way we approach life, it's God's way of approaching life. I want you to know something. It wasn't the wisdom of a man or a woman that thought up the idea of us being together, is it? The Bible says in the book of Genesis, right here in chapter 2, verse 18, and the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. I want you to know something. The woman was never an afterthought. It's not like God let man go and didn't have a plan. We can go back to Genesis chapter 1, and it says that God made them both, male and female. So God knew that a woman was coming, even when Adam didn't know. Amen? And I want you to know something. There was Adam existing and thinking that he was doing all things good, but thank God that God was able to look at him, and I hate to say it, but guys, what he was saying is, without a woman in your life, whoo, praise God, you wouldn't be able to do it. Amen? You know, it's kind of interesting because when you study out that word helpmeet in the Hebrew and Greek, it means to have something supernatural. It means to have something that can exist by itself. Guys, I don't like it either. Don't be mad at me. I wouldn't be preaching this if the Bible didn't say so. I'd keep it secret if I could. Just kidding. But it's God's plan that said, hey, when it comes to man being able to live on this earth, and when I say man, I mean humanity, there are aspects of the woman that are never going to exist in the man. Hey, you know what? Praise God. You know what? Somebody needs to update our current society that thinks they're so smart. Science and biology was created far beyond and far before this time in humanity. Amen? And what we know is, whether you like it or not, what God created female, you can't change. And what God created male, you can't change. Praise God. Just ask our wives. They've been working on us all this time, and we ain't changed a bit. Praise God. But what I want to say to you is that when God created humanity, he put some things in the woman that would never exist in the man. He put some things in the man that would never exist in the woman, and he did that to bring humanity and life to a perfect whole together. I believe that the Lord made that reflection in man. Why? Because God says this: if I can't teach you in those that you can see and be with on a day-to-day basis, then you're never going to be able to know me. If you can't love humanity that you can see, how can you love God who you can't see? That's what the word says. And I want you to know something. How amazing it is that faith, which works by love, brings a man and a woman together to believe somehow, some way, that together we're going to be able to live this thing called life differently than if we were living it apart. God's design. We're going to be able to live it better together than we ever could apart. Amen? You know, it's interesting because in other places, the Lord directs us what? He says, no man can be an island unto himself. I want you to know something, that God is always going to direct us back to interaction to be better off. Amen? Whether it's with our spouse or whether it's a friend or a brother that comes along. Remember, the Bible says that iron sharpens iron. And the Bible says that in the multitude of counsel, there is wisdom. Let me tell you something. If you ever believe that you can live this life without hearing the wisdom of another person, you will never walk in a relationship with God. Because I tell you, it's a scary place when we get to the point where we think that we hear God clearly all the time by ourselves on our own, and we don't need to be accountable to anybody. You know what? Those people fall into places that are not good. I've met people that have told me, hey, me and God got our own thing going on. And they're so far from the Lord, from the simplest aspects of how to relate to others, they can't even function. Amen? I want you to know something. We are never going to go beyond God's way. Now, do I have a responsibility to put God first and have a relationship with him that's unshakable? Yes. Do I have a responsibility to be able to stand for God when it conflicts with the opinion of others, and when I'm on standing there in right standing with God, and I know I'm in right standing with God, do I have that responsibility to ignore everything else and go with him? Absolutely. But I also need the humility to be able to let God speak into my life the way he wants to speak and not just my own way. Amen? I want you to know, the first time I had an experience with God where faith was involved and I saw something supernatural happen, you know, after that happened, I said, my goodness, God, I don't need faith anymore. I know the truth. Praise God. And I tell you what, it wasn't too long that life was humbling me again. And I was saying, Lord, I need help. I want you to know something. You're never going to outgrow God. You're never going to outgrow the need for his wisdom. Listen to me. I want you to know something, that no matter how long you or I are married to our spouse, we're never going to get to where our marriage can exist without him. I want you to know something. From the Garden of Eden till now, the requirement of God was that for humanity to go and do what it was supposed to do, he needed to be involved. You know, in the scriptures, in the very beginning of the Bible, it says that God gave man dominion. Well, I want you to know something. That dominion was never supposed to be without God. In fact, I want to just go to the book of Deuteronomy, I think it's Deuteronomy. Yeah, it is. Chapter 8. And I just want to read you something that the Lord said to his people, the very people that he had brought out of Egypt, the very people that he was building up, and the very people that he was with. I want you to see what the Lord said to them. In verse 16 of Deuteronomy chapter 8, in verse 16, the Lord is speaking and he says, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee, to do thee good at thy later end, And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he swore unto thy fathers, as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish. I want you to know something, that the best thing about finding life is God. The thing to fear about life is losing him or becoming so familiar with him that you forget he's the very reason you can take every step and every breath you take. It's interesting to me that God would speak to his people and remind them, hey, the thing that you need to fear the most is after I've blessed you, healed you, strengthened you, put you in a better position than you've ever been, the most worrisome thing for me as your father is that you start walking and forget that I'm with you and that I'm the one that made the way for you. Let us never be a people that get so complacent that we forget that we only go because God says we go. We only do because God says we do. We only can because God gives us the strength that we can. Amen? Remember, one of the most powerful things that the Lord ever said in the Word is that through Christ, who strengthens me, that's how I can do all things. You know what the other side of that phrase is? Without Christ, I can't get anything done. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's go and let's look over here in this scripture that's very interesting, because I'm going to take this and then I'm going to apply this to us at the foundational level of us walking with the Lord. In the book of Ezekiel, praise the Lord, hallelujah, in chapter 37, we find a very interesting story. In this situation, there's a prophet who's walking with God, and the Lord takes him into a valley of dead bones. So he goes out here, and all these dead bones are laying around, and the Lord begins to speak to him. And I'm just going to read a few things here, and it says that the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out into the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones. and caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, Prophesy unto these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live, and I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. I want you to know something, that if we were to read on, we would find out that not only did the Lord bring skin and flesh and tendons back on these bones, but then he breathed life onto these bodies that he was restoring, and they lived. Now, I want you to know something. I really wanted to talk to you about this story because of this right here. If the Lord can bring life to a valley of dead bones, how much can he bring life to you? You know, when we think about putting things in order God's way, I want you to know something right now, that our relationships do not have to die. Our finances do not have to stay broken. Our places in life where we have fear or health problems or mental issues and battles and things like that, I want you to know that they do not have to stay in the state that they might be in at this very moment. I want you to know something, that God has life in his word for each and every one of us. The Bible says what? In John chapter 6:63, what does it say? The word of God is spirit and life. I want you to know something, that we are not supposed to sit down with the Bible and just read it for its historical context. We're not supposed to just sit down with the Bible and read it just as stories. I want you to know something. When you read the Bible, you need to have your heart open to say, God, what are you speaking to me in my life today through what I'm reading? I want you to know something, that the Lord put this very scripture in here so we would know that if the Lord can speak to a valley of dead bones and bring life to them, then what in our life is so far gone that God can't speak to it and bring restoration? I want you to also know this, that it's a verification in the Word of God that we see right here, that the key to every part of life functioning the way God wants it to function and being what God wants it to be for each and every one of us is that the Word is mixed into our life on a daily basis. Praise God. I know that the Lord is speaking to you right now, and he's telling you that in this area, put me into it more and more. Right now, the Lord is speaking to each one of us. As I preach to you today, the Lord is speaking to you as an individual, letting you know where you need to make sure that you're making room for him. And what the Lord is trying to tell you in the middle of your situation, in the middle of adversity, because isn't it interesting that you begin to walk with God and without fail, right in the area that you've given to him and said, Lord, I need help here, whether it's me just growing in him, or maybe it's my relationship that I'm putting before the Lord, maybe my marriage or something else that I'm putting before the Lord. And sometimes it seems like the minute you say, okay, God, help me, boom! More pressure comes. More difficulty comes. Isn't it amazing in the Word of God that the very time where the heavens basically opened up and the voice came from heaven and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And Jesus said in the synagogue, hey, this day this scripture is fulfilled. And the next thing you know, where is he? In the wilderness, fighting off the attack of the devil. I want you to know something, that in your situation right now, the Lord is telling me just to encourage you to make sure that you don't give up, you don't quit, you keep digging in. You know, the Bible says this, when we've done all we can do, stand. Praise God. Don't back up. Don't be afraid. Don't be swayed by what you see with your eye. It's amazing. Remember, the just shall live by faith. The just shall walk by faith. I want you to know, hold on. Hang in there. In due season, you shall reap, praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. God will be with you. God is with you. You know, it's amazing because the Lord's word has no limit to it. You know what the Bible declares about God's word? That it will go forth and it will not return to us void. It will accomplish. It will finish. It will do what God says it will do. I want to remind you of something just because I think it's so important for us to constantly remember our identity and remember who we are in the Lord and remember that we are of Him now and that we are not our own. We've been bought by a price. We belong to Him. You know what it says in 1 John chapter 3? It says, behold, what manner of love, in other words, the high wonder, the depth, the wonder, the amazement of love that the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. I want you to know that this scripture is a declaration of your relationship now and your relationship to come. I want to remind you right now, as we are sitting in the presence of the Lord, we're not a child of God in the future. We're a child of God right now. We're not just going to be heavenly bound beings and great heavenly beings when we get to heaven, but we are heavenly beings now. We have a divine nature now that we can tap into. We have a side of us right now to discover that is God. We have an inward man that should be living today and proclaiming the Lord. We have an inward man that should be speaking much more than our outward man. Praise the name of the Lord. And we know the nature of our inward man. Gentleness, kindness, long-suffering, faith, speaking good and not evil. Praise the name of the Lord. Walking with patience and kindness, not being frustrated, not being overwhelmed. Remember, the Bible says that we don't have a spirit of fear, anxiousness, or worriness, but we have a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. You know, when I'm operating in my sound mind, I've noticed that I'm never angry. I'm never anxious and impatient when I'm living where the Lord wants me to live. I'm not trying to rush and over-anxious to make things happen and do it my way and get it done in my timing. Make it happen now, be under my control, have my finger on the pulse all the time. I want you to know something. That when we are really walking with the Lord, there's a peace that comes. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord is with you. You are his child right now. And you have a right to walk in a divine nature. You have a right to walk in a faith nature. You have a right to walk in a love nature. You know, I want you to know something that the Bible says, and the Lord's really been impressing upon this for me over the last couple years, but the Bible says what? Be quick to hear and slow to speak. In other words, make sure you're aware of what's going on in life and make sure that you're open to hear, but make sure that before you speak, the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. In other words, before you speak, you should make sure that what you're saying is bathed in the wisdom of God. What you're saying is bathed in the faith of God. And I want you to know something, that there should be a supernatural aspect of God in every area of your life. You know, it's interesting because, first of all, you know, even when I'm dealing with myself, there's a way that I should think about myself. There's a way that I should speak about myself that isn't anything to do with me. I should make sure that the things I'm speaking concerning me are based in him. You know, if I will walk with the Lord, guess what? I have the ability to touch every aspect of life in the way that God would want me to walk. You know, I want you to know something, that when it comes to the family structure, if I'm going to be the best spouse I can be, I better be walking with the Lord. I want you to know something, that when it comes to the family structure, I'm just going to sit in here for a minute. But I want you to know something, that the Bible says what? That a wife should submit to her husband. And we know that husbands are supposed to be the head of the household and all those things that we believe. But one thing that a husband's got to remember is that a wife's love is based on respect and faith. That's what the Bible says. Wives, respect your husbands. In other words, you know what the Lord is saying? As our wives see the nature and the character of Jesus in us, being submitted to us or being honoring of us as their husband is not going to be an issue. It's kind of funny, because when I'm running towards the Lord, I know it's interesting, but my wife is never fighting with me. Praise God. You know, there's never been a time where I said, honey, I'm going to go read or I'm going to pray. And my wife said, no, you're not. You're going to take me and buy a dress. No, you're not. You're going to take care of me right now. Interesting. If you pursue God the way you're supposed to pursue God, people around you will see that and reverence it. And I also want to tell you this. Just because you're the man of your house, praise God, you better understand something, that there's a woman in that house. And you better understand that just as much as it's important for you to set an example of the Lord in your household, wives, you better be setting an example of the Lord in your household. Praise God. Just like dealing with children, I want you to know something, that a man actually does have a responsibility to impact children, but hello, that wife has a responsibility to impact them children just as much. In every aspect of life, we need to partner with God. If I'm going to be a husband, I better not be a husband on my own ability. If I'm going to be a wife, I better not be a wife on my own. I'm never going to be a wife. But I'm saying, if you are a wife, you should never be a wife on your own ability. And when we go to work, guess what? We never work on our own ability. The Lord says he'll bless the work of our hands. The Lord says he'll give us witty inventions. You know, it's the Lord that gives us the abilities to do what we're able to do. I want you to know that even when I go to the store, we go to the store, we have a responsibility to make sure that even in the store, we have a mind after the Lord. You know, you can have a supernatural experience in the grocery store and not just at church. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. I'll never forget one day I was witnessing in Walmart, and I actually seen somebody give their heart to the Lord in the aisle of Walmart. And I thought, Lord, I never knew that Walmart could be a holy place. But what we forget is anywhere we go, we have the right to have God with us. And it's only a natural experience if we want it to be a natural experience. Praise the name of the Lord. Woo! Praise God. You know, I want to remind you that the Bible says something here, and this is a very common scripture. I might even went over it in the last week or two. But here it is. At the top of my page, I want you to know something that the Bible says in the book of Psalms 127, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early or to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, or for so he giveth his beloved sleep. I want you to understand something, that when we read that scripture and we think about the Lord building a house, I want you to know that that's not a one-dimensional saying. It's not just talking about building a house from a wood structure or a brick structure that you're going to live in. The Lord is talking about building a household, building a place that he's going to reign in. And I want you to know something. That it's not just about the structure that you're physically living in and sleeping in. I want you to know that when the Lord is talking about building a house, he's talking about you. Where does he live? In you. What is the temple of God? I am. Who was I bought with a price by? Him. I want you to know something. You can't build your life on your own strength. And you can't build your house without letting God in there. I tell you what, there should be some things that never come into our house because they're not godly. There should be some things that are always in our house, like the Bible, praise God, like prayer, like practicing walking in love. You know, it's interesting because if you're going to be in ministry or if you are in ministry, I want you to know something. You can't be successful out here till you're successful in here. Because the first place God expects you to minister is in your home. You know, I like to remind men that the Lord doesn't say, I wish he did, but he doesn't. He doesn't just say, hey, when you find a wife, you find it's a good thing. Because if he would just say that, then I could assume that that good thing is going to always do what I want, be what I want, act the way I want, and please me. But he doesn't say that, does he? He says, you findeth a good thing and favor with the Lord. Uh-oh. Right there, that means, uh-oh, I no longer get to love her the way I want to love her. I have to go and love her the way God wants me to love her so I can walk in his favor. See, some of you thought you were broke just because you weren't working hard enough. Some of you are broke because you just need to treat her better. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah, Jesus. But I really want to come back to this for just a minute. You know, when we think about building a house, we think about even if you're single, building an environment that God is with you in. Building a lifestyle that God can honor. building a place that declares him. You know, and if we're married and we don't have children, building a household that God can honor, building a household that has his presence in it. And if we have a household with children, making sure that not just as husband and spouse, we're interacting with each other with the love of God and with the wisdom of God, but if we have children, we definitely need to make sure that that love and that extension is over them as well. Amen? You know, there should be some things that I speak to my children just because I love them. There should be some things I speak to those children because I'm directed by God to speak it. There's some ways I'm going to treat my wife just because I want to treat her good. But there should be some ways that I treat her because God has inspired me to do so. And I want you to know something, that this is every area of our life. There should be some ways that I treat people at work because God has inspired me to treat them a certain way. There should be some interactions that I have with people at work because God is in the middle of those interactions. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. I used to love it because I had an office right behind human resources. And my human resource manager knew I was a Christian, so they were kind of especially strict towards me when it came to things of faith. Make sure you ain't out here witnessing to people. Make sure you ain't doing this. Make sure you ain't doing this. Well, I'd like to tell them how many people I prayed for 5 foot from the human resource office. And not because, you know, I had to go out and yell about it, but people just knew that I lived for the Lord. And as a result, they'd come and say, hey, can you pray for this? Can you pray for this? Can you pray for this? And without fail, God would answer us. I want you to just open up your heart to just say, Lord, what area could I be more open to your direction? Just take time to evaluate your life and say, God, is there any place where I'm living in my own strength instead of your strength? Is there anything I'm approaching business-wise, work-wise, relational-wise, any area of my life? Is there something I'm approaching? Is there some steps I'm taking that are more in my own power than your power? Praise God. Even in ministry, even in things that God has given you to do that he's a part of, I want you to know that there's times where we need to make sure that what we're doing is based upon God's wisdom, based upon God's direction, and based upon God's ability to do in our life what he wants to do. Amen? Remember that we are founded upon the rock Christ Jesus. And remember that he is the one that helps us in every aspect of who we are. Praise God. Praise the Lord. I just want you to have your heart open today to Jesus. And if there's anybody in here or anybody watching online, and today, let's just close our eyes for a minute. If there's anybody here that is saying, Pastor, I really need to give more of myself to God, or I really need to open my heart up to more of him being the one that I'm taking direction from, I need to be more aware of him. If that's you, just raise your hand. Praise God. Amen. I see that hand. Praise God. I see that hand. You can put it down. Praise the Lord. You know, I'm very excited because when someone opens up their heart to say, God, I need more, I'm aware that I may not be involving you as much as I should, I want you to know that the Lord is quick to answer and to come, and he's excited about coming into our situations. Amen? So we're just going to take a minute, both in here and for those watching online, if you raised your hand and you're in your house, or you just had the thought at your house right now while you're watching online that you need to make more room for the Lord, I want you to know that he's there with you. He's hearing you, and he's answering you. Father, for each of us that is saying today, God, that we need more of you, or that we want to make sure that our heart is open to you in every area, Father, that we're not just so caught up in the busyness of life that we're just doing things without you, Father. Lord, I just pray right now that as we take these steps towards you, that you are taking steps towards us. That as we seek you, you will be found according to your word. And you will come in. And you will answer. And you will help. And you will do, because that is your nature. That is who you are. And Father, we just lift you up and exalt you. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise today. Amen. He is good. He is good. Well, I tell you what, we have a special young lady here by the name of Jana, who's about to give birth to a glorious child who God has given her and her husband and is bringing into their family. Amen. Praise God. I always like this because I know it to be true. But for some reason, carrying a boy is different than carrying a girl, isn't it? Those boys, I tell you, they are problems, hallelujah. But we're just going to pray for her, because this week, this baby's going to come, and we know that God is going to be with her and her family. Father, in the name of Jesus. Good, isn't he? Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, I want to thank you for being here today. I thank you for giving your heart to Jesus and walking with him. And we'll be here to pray with you in anything that you need. And remember, greeters, you are going to have a great meeting. So get out there and have at it, and have a very blessed day in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God.